Around the time the musical Hamilton was a few months into its Broadway run, I was on a street corner in New York talking to two friends, and the Tony nominations had just been announced. And I said something like, oh, that's good for Lin-Manuel Miranda. That's amazing that his first time at bat, like his first big thing, gets nominated for all these awards. And one of my friends corrected me and said, actually, no, he had a play before this that was also nominated for many awards. And I said this sentence, word for word. I said, oh, so he's no stranger to the Tony scene. And as I said this, I kind of absentmindedly drifted into traffic off the curb and came within millimeters of getting hit by a speeding bus. I think one of my hairs even caught it. It hit a hair on me. Christian and I always laugh about it because my final words would have been, oh, so he's no stranger to the Tony scene.
For so many reasons, I'm glad those weren't your last words. So many reasons.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom. You're listening to Life is Short. I'm your host, Justin Long.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
And I'm here, as I always am, with my brother, Chris.
Chin. Hi, Justin. I'm glad you survived that near bus accident.
It was such an uncharacteristic thing for me to say. I like to think.
There's so many worse versions of your last words. It could have been,
yeah.
Like, you could have been, in such fear that you were like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
I know.
And well, you wouldn't want to go down a coward. You'd be remembered that way.
Yeah. So the reason that we're talking about this experience that I had when I said that slightly embarrassing, potentially final words, is that one of the two people with me that day was our guest today, Kobe Smulders. She's one of my favorite people. I think that'll be clear in the interview. But yeah.
You met her. Did you meet her during when you shot that movie with her?
I had met her years earlier at a wedding, at Nick Panessa's wedding, shout out to weddings. I was across from Kobe and her husband, Taryn Killam from Saturday Night Live. Very funny, Taryn. Kobe and I got to know each other very well years later doing this movie. Oh, that's right. It's called Literally Right Before Aaron. That's the title.
One of the worst titles in cinema history.
I agree. Yeah.
It also, I think it came out in the time when the word literally became so misused in our culture.
Yeah.
I just hate,
literally
did. And I'm guilty of it.
Yeah.
I do it all the time. I use the word literally for emphasis when that's not how you're supposed to
God.
Use it.
Oh my God. My head literally exploded.
I'm ashamed to say I say things like that.
Yeah.
I'm so hungry. I could literally eat a horse.
Well, you have eaten horse.
That's true. Raw horse.
Yeah. Literally synonymous with really, like an emphatic word.
Yeah.
Adverb.
Yes.
I literally shit my pants. That's a funny David Cross bit where he's like, I literally shit my pants. Oh my God, that was so crazy.
So as dumb as that title was, I think Kobe Smulders is the opposite in terms of cool and smart
impressive. Yeah.
I had never met her. So I was just meeting her for the first time.
Oh, yeah,
and
you
she
had
was,
never met her.
Couldn't have been more charming and friendly.
It's
and,
weird.
Down to earth. Cool.
Yeah.
Seemed really cool.
So cool. I mean, it's hard to, now I feel like we're repeating ourselves, but it's hard to talk about Kobe without using superlatives like that. It's impossible because she's such an anomaly almost. I mean, she's just such a rare bird.
So for those who don't know her, she was on the show, the hit show, How I Met Your Mother for nine years it was on.
Yeah, they did it for
a long time. She was on the Netflix show Friends from College. And now she is... in the Marvel universe, is that Marvel?
Yeah,
she's
in the Marvelverse.
Marvelverse. She plays Maria Hill.
Yeah, she plays an agent. I'm sure everyone knows that at this point. She had her career. I feel like she's been working for so long, but just now I think becoming really famous. I don't know. I don't really have a good gauge of the levels of fame.
Well, she's in the Spider-Man movie now. That's out. That's doing very well. So I think
she's
people. People know her.
Kobe. It's a cool name, too.
Kobe.
Smulders. She does smolder. By the way, before we get into this, which at this point you're all probably eager for us to do, we just want to do a little plug of our own tour.
Plugging ourselves.
Yeah, we're touring. We're going on the road.
We're sort of like Aerosmith.
Yes. Yeah.
Like Aerosmith in the 70s.
God, he got weird looking.
Not man. Aerosmith in the house.
Oh, Jesus.
Loving an elevator.
Anyway.
Going on tour.
So we're going on tour. It sounds cool to say that. It's fun to say that. But we are doing three live shows coming up in September. So if you live in these cities, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, or Washington, D.C., we're going to be doing shows there. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. We're running an exclusive pre-sale for podcast listeners. Pre-sale password Justin Long. You can access tickets now. Tickets and information available at www.justinlonglive.com. Make sure the URL is included in posts. And there's even, oh, I didn't know this, limited VIP meet and greet.
Ooh, people get to meet you?
And greet me.
Whoa.
Yeah, or I'm doing the greeting. The shows are September 17th, Philadelphia at Underground Arts, September 18th, Brooklyn at Murmur, and September 19th in D.C. at the Miracle Theater. So that'll be really fun. We're going to have some good guests for those live shows. And Christian will be on stage as well.
You might get to meet and greet me, too.
Yeah. You don't get to meet. You get to... You get to acknowledge.
You get to nod at me from a distance.
Yeah, that'll be a thrill.
What you've always wanted. Yeah. So that's in September.
That's
but
in September.
Coming right up.
Yes.
Up next.
Yes. You don't have to wait. We are going to meet and greet the just fantastic Kobe Smulders.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, This ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and up and we'll meet again.
I didn't know this about you.
Okay.
And I've known you, I don't know, four years now.
We got to know each other well.
We did a movie together called Literally Right Before Aaron, which...
And it's called that because I meet this guy in the movie right after dating you. You're Aaron.
I'm Aaron, yeah. So throughout the movie, I'm trying to get over you, and I go to your wedding.
The takeaway from our film was...
Yeah, what? Well, I want to hear this.
Was the best background acting I've ever seen in my life. And I have footage of it because I demanded that Ryan send me it.
Uh-huh.
Lovely Ryan Hansen, who was also in the movie with us. And the shot is on us, and it's kind of on us with, like, crowd behind us. So it's a wide... And there's just this one woman in a neon pink dress, you know, a 60-year-old woman who is just facially expressing her disdain for the cake. You had just pushed over the wedding cake. Spoiler alert.
In the scene, I try to sabotage their wedding. I do sabotage successfully. And so I push over this big three-level wedding cake. And so they wanted a reaction from the crowd. And of course, Kobe's reacting the way, you know, like a...
The way a bride would, if I guess that happened.
Very natural. Ryan's a great actor. You guys are very... And upstaging the both of you is this woman who is just... Her face is contorting in such a way.
And it's frozen. It's not only like contorted, but it's frozen in contortion.
In like, I don't know what's even.
For like a full on 40 seconds.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It must have been hard for her to hold this. You're supposed to be looking at these two characters in the foreground. And this woman is. It's
so great. It's really wonderful.
It's wonderful. It was so fun.
That was the greatest takeaway of that film for me, personally.
This is a cheesy like tie into that. But do you have exes in your life that you're still close with or who maybe...
I kind of burn it down.
Yeah, good.
I burn it down.
Let it go.
I don't mean to. I just was like, you've been inside of me. I feel like we can't... I don't know how to move on now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's just because, like, you know, I haven't had... I met Taryn when I was 22. Like, we were young, you know, wow. So it's not like I have a huge,
yeah,
you know,
laundry list.
Repertoire yeah. of sexual encounters. But it's like you've been inside of me. I think that we can part. We can be like civil. And it's all good.
Okay, so that's not. So it's not. But we don't have to keep in touch.
No, we don't need. We don't. I have friends.
Yeah, you that's
know?
True.
I have friendships, close friendships. I don't. Do you? Is this?
Yeah. With one or two. But yeah, I can do it. I wonder if it's easier for guys. I don't know. If somebody were inside of me, I think maybe it'd be harder for me to get over.
Since you're doing the penetrating, it's easier to.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I wonder.
Get past that.
And you met Taryn in LA.
Yeah.
Were you guys working together? Or you just were.
He was working with still a very good friend of ours. They shot a pilot together.
This is Taryn Killam, who was on Saturday Night Live for a long time. One of the funniest people you'll ever meet.
The greatest. I'm going to say the greatest man on the planet.
I hope so.
Yes.
For me, he's not the greatest, but he's nearly the greatest.
He's like one of top 10, like top 10.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
top 10 men that
top
I've met.
Top 10 men?
Yes. I would actually say that. Taryn's one of the top 10 men. That I've met in my life.
He's my number one
man. I've met a lot of men.
And I've been around.
Oh, God. No, honest to God, I would say Taryn truly is one of the top 10.
He's a lovely, lovely man. And I really lucked out because, like I said, we met when we were 22. And that could have gone any direction.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
How do you...
That really could have been a doozy.
Share your secret.
Share it with the world, the secret of just staying in a relationship for as long as we have.
Two actors.
For us, and this is not for everybody, but we're very independent.
Yeah.
Like, I have never been like... Why didn't you call me? Where are you? Mm. I've never had that thought, unless I'm dealing with a kid situation.
Right.
That's when that kind of stuff gets in, where you're like, you're supposed to be a pickup, bro. Where are you?
Yeah.
You know?
But not like, it's
But not eight, like, I, you know, you didn't even, you know, you we were at the party. You didn't even check in with me. Like, I don't have that. I don't have that in me.
Goes a long way.
And he doesn't either. I don't know if that's an insecurity thing or within yourself or within your relationship. I don't know.
I think it would probably
maybe
is,
both.
Yeah.
Maybe a
sure.
little combo.
Did you, were you very taken care of growing up?
By adults?
Yeah.
No,
but,
sir.
No, that's right.
Which is probably why I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been rocking it solo styles. For a while.
You grew up in Vancouver.
I did.
And you have, I didn't know you had four sisters.
I have four sisters. Yeah, I have. So I have my parents, my mother and father had four kids, three girls and one boy. And then they got divorced, which is a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
And
doing that one next.
That's the next one. That's going to be a good one. And my father remarried my stepmother, who had four children. She had two girls and two boys.
Oh, my God.
So it was, you know, Brady Bunch.
Yeah. So did they integrate the family? I mean, obviously, they're
young.
They've
been trying to since I was seven.
But was that a struggle or was it like...
I mean, I was so young. I think, you know, the timeline, like I'm a year or two off probably, but I think they met when I was around 8 or 9. They got married when I was... 15.
Weird.
So, you know, and the youngest, which would be my stepbrother Adam, he's 6 years older than me.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was a pretty big gap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
especially
they were
when
adults. They were adults.
Yeah.
to me.
Yeah. So. Are those the ones that were like? I know they're like lumberjack
so
type.
No, they're not lumberjacks. They're
they're like dude. They're like real. Like you, if
well,
you were
they're like. Criminals.
Oh, right. That's right. I get criminals and lumberjacks.
Well, they're
confused.
Like, I mean, that's what the Canadian criminal is, a lumberjack.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, it's they're wonderful people.
They steal
people.
Trees.
They're wonderful people, but they're full on bros.
Yeah. They're tough.
They're tough guys. We have running jokes about, you know, me being, so I moved in with my father when I was in high school, and high school in Canada starts in the 8th grade, everybody, and it goes from 8th to the 12th grade in one, you know, one campus. And if there was a guy who was interested in me, or, you know, at that age, you're not like, you don't have a boyfriend, but you do by label, but you don't actually
see or
talk to them.
Like, we're seeing each other.
He's my boyfriend. I have yet to talk to him.
Yes.
But we're dating.
It's a very strong relationship.
No, we have never been alone. No, we've never been alone.
We've glanced at one another.
Yes. But he would like...
So if somebody was interested in you,
he would tie them up. And he would tie
literally.
Them up to trees and throw beer cans at them. Or like follow them home, and I would hear about it days later. Like I don't even know that guy, but it was this weird, you know, very meta, very I don't know what.
Well, and these are your adoptive brothers.
These are the step. These are
wow.
the step.
Like
so he was, I think, when this was happening, he was still on No, he might have graduated. I don't know. He's 6 years older than me, so he would have been just graduated, I guess.
Are you enjoying high school? Are you like, are you thriving?
Yeah, I did very well. I was very popular.
You're laughing. Are you being sarcastic? I can't tell. Because
No, I did good. I did well.
I did well.
It's so funny because now, like, I have conversations with my daughter, and she was like, you know, were you popular? She's like 10.
Yeah.
But it's a weird thing to be, you know, popular is bad. Like, popular is kind of like you're a bit of a, back in the day, it's like cliquey and whatever it is.
Totally. You're like one of the Heathers.
Yes. Yeah. I was not that. But I was voted most respected by my high school graduating class.
Oh, yeah.
So people liked
me, I
guess.
Most respected.
Most respected.
Did we have most respected?
That's Canada for you.
Yeah. That feels like the prize then, if all those prettiest...
I was very surprised by it. I was like, really? Huh? And I said to some of my friends, did you vote for me?
Is this a joke?
It felt like a bit of a joke.
So people now, do you ever see them, you ever go back home and they're like, oh, it makes sense, she became...
This is Canada. I'm still like best friends with all of my high school girlfriends.
That's great.
I mean, I'd never been to a high school reunion because of that reason, because I see...
There's no need
fuckers
to.
Fuckers all the time. Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I didn't know your full name. I didn't know this.
Oh, my full name?
Yeah.
Jacoba Francisca Maria Smulders?
No,
With a kind of cool exotic accent.
I did not know.
Much cooler than I am.
Jacoba. Where did that come from? Jacoba.
Jacoba is the name of my great aunt. My father's Dutch and his favorite aunt. She was named Jacoba but went by Kobe.
Oh,
the whole life. I've never been called Jacoba by anyone in my life.
Oh, wow. Even when you're a babe?
Even when I was a babe? No. Huh. It was always that, you know, legally Kobe. She's Jacoba, but we're going to call her Kobe, as was this woman in Holland.
Francisca Maria. It just sounds so... Yeah. So that's Dutch.
Exciting. It's Catholic. It's, you know, which my family, I guess, was at one point.
But not when you were...
No,
going
not
through
raised.
Formative year.
No.
Okay.
No.
So you were raised with no religion. No.
Well, my mother is like an atheist, and my father, I guess, would be Catholic, but is not practicing.
So,
I do. I'm having a memory of like a cartoon Bible in my mind. I think there was an attempt at religion, probably through my oma and opa, which is grandparents in Dutch.
That was a very strong part of your identity growing up.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They all immigrated to Vancouver, like as a family, and bought like apartments and we're landlords and stuff.
Modeling.
We can play. Oh.
I know how, whatever. I don't know how to say this without sounding like an asshole, but I know that you are, how cool you are and how that world may not be the most, something that you're drawn to naturally. But how did that happen?
It was when I was, 12 and I was in summer camp. There was this girl who was like my first female crush, who's beautiful, and she was a model, and she just kind of came up to me and said, you should check this out. And I was like, okay, I can travel places. I was 12. I mean, I was a child. I was like, whatever you do, I want to also do.
Yeah.
Because she was like, I go to New York, and I go to, you know, Paris, and that all sounded great to me. So I started doing that. I mean, I first went to New York when I was 13 with a parent. And then would spend sort of every summer and spring break in New York. Back in the day, you could, you know, you could make money at it and you could make some good money and then squirrel it away and try to go to school. And that was sort of my plan.
It was like a means. So, and it also wasn't something that you were going to devote your life to. It wasn't like, oh, this is, because I think a lot of people probably get into it thinking like, well, now this is what I do. I'm a model.
Yeah,
now.
I guess so. I was always.
It was like a means to an end.
I mean, I hate having my picture taken. So I don't know if it's because of that. I think I've always been that way because I remember just, you know, for annoying family photos and stuff, I always felt very uncomfortable.
Me too.
Me
too, but I had reason to.
I don't know how I survived
to.
For that long doing it, and even to this day now. But,
yeah, like you chose a great profession.
I know.
But I think that sometimes too, that school photo day was one of my least favorite days. I felt so uncomfortable, and it felt forced and vain, all these. And now I regress slightly whenever I'm on one of those red carpet things. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You have to do so much of that, now, especially promoting something like Avengers.
Right. But I think it's harder when you're doing a smaller film.
Yeah.
Because then it's actually on you personally.
That's true.
To sell it more. Like with all the Avengers stuff, I'm like, I'm like one of 50.
You're like a cog
here.
In the.
Like, I, exactly. I am such a small part of this thing that gets me laid by my husband. Gets me super laid by my husband.
Good for you.
Yeah. I'm probably having sex with my husband.
No kidding. Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're talking to the mic for this one. Because Taryn is also like a bit. Glorious nerd. I mean, he
he's
so into this stuff.
This is his world. I mean, I think that's why he does, you know, he's an actor and a writer and he loves story and he's a big Star Wars fan.
Huge, yeah.
And Marvel fan, comic book fan.
So when you got this part, was he like, please, please, please? Or was it just like an easy decision? You're going to do...
When I auditioned for the Avengers, I didn't know what I was auditioning for because they weren't releasing any information. They just said, I think they just said a female agent. They didn't even say. So Taryn was convinced that it was for the Wasp, which is Evangeline Lilly, the role now. I'm trying to think of when I actually learned who it was, and then he told me who
that
was. They
don't even give you the size, right? They're very secretive
about
stuff.
No, well, Joss Whedon directed the first Avengers, and he wrote scenes, like full-on five-page scenes, which is very nice.
Just for the audition?
For this screen test with Sam Jackson. It was like me and like five other versions of me in a room, and
weird.
We would just go one by one, you know?
Oh, wow.
With the cape on, so you wouldn't reveal anything, any costume underneath, which was weird because it wasn't much of a costume back then. But yeah, we would have to go on.
What do you mean you have to wear a cape?
Well, you have to wear. Well, you don't really do it so much anymore.
Like a barber when you're getting your
hair cut. Yeah, well, like but bigger than that, like full body, because they don't want to reveal because there's cameras everywhere.
Oh
on
my
the sets.
God!
I mean, I don't have to do it so much anymore, but I did for the first one. Yeah, because it was like a suit.
They don't
want to
reveal anything.
They don't want to reveal what the costumes look like.
So are you around the other person? I mean, I know oftentimes you are when you're auditioning. You're around the other people. There's a waiting room.
Oh, we're like all in hair makeup together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I left going, well, I didn't do great. I did okay.
Once you got it, were they like, just so you know, this is going to be like a 6-7-8 year commitment.
I had to sign that beforehand. Know that.
Oh, okay.
I did like understand the commitment. But for those, you're like, how many do you want?
Yeah, totally.
You
want to
go 12, 15 rounds? We're going to do this.
No.
Let's do this.
40, 50 years?
I know. I'm 50. Yes. Yes.
I'll try to live that long.
I know.
Just to do this.
I know.
Is that still fun to you, like to travel around? I remember.
You mean the press tour of it all?
Yeah. And traveling to Japan.
Yeah. I like doing the like Fast and Furious things.
Yes.
I mean, the biggest press tour. I think I went to London with the Avengers, but I did this movie called Jack Reacher with Mr. Tom Cruise. We went to Beijing and Shanghai.
So
and
cool.
Germany and London.
But I'm guessing people there in those countries don't really know who Tom Cruise is. So you probably have to like boost him up.
Like, everybody,
guys,
this is Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
He does action.
What is that?
That's
what is
the best
that? Yeah.
The best way to travel is with Tom Cruise.
I've heard that. But it was from Tom Cruise, so I figured
every other like trip just seems like a turd.
Yeah,
it
that's
a real delight.
I love Tom Cruise.
He's an amazing person.
People forget what a great actor he is.
Oh yeah,
such a great. I mean, they don't forget it.
Jerry
they just,
Maguire. Like, I mean,
he's so good in A Few Good Men.
Yes.
I mean, he's so good that like now those scenes he makes scenes iconic and people.
Yeah.
Other things get overshadow the acting. But specifically, we talked about his running.
Well, there's a couple stories.
Oh, tell me. Because I remember we were running in sand or something. We were doing like a montage where Kobe and I were like doing a montage where we're falling in love.
Yes.
It was like the good times. And it was so hard to run in the sand. And you told me this story then.
Well, I think maybe the one, first of all, I'll preface with, my experience of running with Tom Cruise was that right before I got hired for this movie is I broken my leg and was on crutches for 7 weeks. And I also had a 6-month-old child. You know, my body was not at its, not at its peak.
Not in top Tom Cruise.
Not Tom Cruise shape. Not Top Gun form. So I got this job and like immediately started training. And he is legitimately fast.
Yeah.
And I know this because there were machines that we were both on. So there was a treadmill. It would sort of set a pace. I'm running next to him, and I will say, I think his highest is about 30 miles an hour on that fucking treadmill.
God. He's
something,
like a cheetah.
It was insane, you know, for 5 seconds or whatever it is. But anyway, when we're shooting in New Orleans, it's 1,000 degrees outside.
Wait, sorry to interrupt. Yes. What are you doing when you're next to him? Are you talking to one another?
We're purely running.
Okay,
we're
staring running, straight ahead?
We're staring straight ahead, weird. And I think we're running away from like a drone.
Okay.
So it's like we just sprint. Like there's
They're actually shooting this. It's like green screen stuff.
Oh, yeah. No. We're in a park in New Orleans outside running from a drone.
Weird.
I was a very smart person to say, you know what? I think my character is like faster than his character because, you know, she's younger. She's more trained, you know, and that was the only way I survived that day because I got to set the pace.
Oh, he had to.
And he had to run. He had to run behind me at my pace.
It must have been so hard for him.
The first time that we did it, he just like left me in the dust. He's so fast. And they have compilations of him running.
They had
running.
To put weights on his ankles. They had to put like weighted pants on.
Why don't they have to handicap him some way just to make myself feel better? But it was so intense. And we did. I remember at the beginning of that day, the director came, Ed Zwick, and he was like, okay, so you see that red cone? And it was a football field. I mean, it was so far away.
Uh-huh.
Full sprint to that. And we must have done it about 40 times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it was like all my training was just for this day.
New Orleans.
New Orleans in humidity.
Jesus.
And he was totally fine. And I was like,
oh, my God.
Just crying.
And you're,
it in the movie? No. Justin, none of the running was really in the movie.
Oh, my God. How can you have a Tom Cruise movie with no running?
There was a little bit of running, but, I mean, not. They cut the whole drone sequence, I think.
I think about that a lot. Well, with our movie that I shouldn't keep referencing because no one saw it, but I remember doing a bunch of pratfalls that never made it. And one hurt me. I chipped something in my elbow to the point where I still feel it every time once in a while. And I think it's a constant reminder of I don't have to do it that much.
That is one thing. One of the many things that Tom taught me during that movie is how to do everything safely. Like, you know, in those moments when you're shooting and they're like, can you just jump off of this thing? We just need this one shot. You just say, no. And to actually own that and to protect yourself.
You should have told me that story the day that I got.
I know. He got hurt.
I got heat stroke.
But we, you know, oh, yeah, that's right.
Like Tom Cruise. This is similar to Tom Cruise. And you did two movies with Tom. You did both. Jack,
no,
Richard, just the second
just
one.
Just the second one, yeah. Standalone.
Do you ever talk to him? Do you ever hear? Like,
yeah, email and yeah. I get his. No, we
really?
Do.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And we get, you know, one of my favorite parts about the holidays is the Tom Cruise cake. Have you heard about the Tom Cruise
yes,
cake?
Yes, I have. What is this cake like? Talk to me.
So it's white chocolate, coconut cake. I'm not a sweets person.
Yeah.
But the cake is like
it transcends that.
Well, it's sort of you do know like what is it called that like that almond marzipan. It's
yes.
a similar like marzipan
consistency.
Consistency is the cake, so it's very moist. It might still be in my freezer. I fucking chip away at this thing. Oh. So he always sends that, and then he sends like a giant gingerbread house for my children. It's so
for
stupid.
What? For what? Okay, just
because it's Christmas.
God, I love him.
And
I
send him
Tom
our family
Cruise.
Christmas card. He's the hardest working man I've ever met.
Yeah.
And also the kindest to
generous,
all.
Yeah,
generous.
I heard that.
To every crew member. I mean, he's just a delight.
As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over. Because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up and we'll meet again.
At what point do you think, well, I could maybe be an actress? Because did you act in high school?
Did you do
plays?
Yeah, I was very into sports. I played soccer for 12 years, and then I played volleyball, and then I got into basketball. I'm just laughing.
Why are you laughing?
Well, I'm laughing because I have a funny story which I can tell, which is, you know, growing up, my sister, so my older sister, she was 2 years older than me, and she was very good at basketball, like her whole life. She was the star player on the senior team.
How tall is she?
She's not super tall, but she was point guard. She was she's 5'9", 5'10". But she went on to play college ball, and then she went on to play in Holland because she got her citizenship through our father.
Oh. And she played professionally then?
She played professionally.
Wow.
And she played on, like, the Dutch national team for a while. So, wow. Like, she's legit, right? Yeah. I'm trying to make a name for myself on the basketball courts of Lord Bing. And we were at a tournament. And so, you know, somebody shoots. I go up. I grab the rebound. Everybody clears out. And for some reason, synapses got confused. Uh-huh. And I went up and I shot on my net. And I missed.
Damien move.
Okay. And I get my own rebound. Uh-huh. And I go up and I shoot again. Oh. Second time.
No.
And I miss. And I get my rebound. And the crowd is going wild. And I'm like, nobody's on me. This is it. This is my moment.
Now
and I
at go, Lord Bing's school, when people do that, they call it a Kobe.
I know, exactly. You pulled a smolder. You pulled a smolders. And then I went up third time. My own teammate steals the ball away from me. And I have this vivid memory of looking out into the crowd and the entire senior team is watching. And my sister is sitting there with tears flowing down her face because she's laughing so hard. And in this moment, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go into acting. I'm really fully committing to acting now. I'm getting back in a theater company.
So at what point after you leave school, you're still modeling?
I left school and then I moved to New York. And I was like living in the meatpacking district, which was not at all what it is now.
No,
it was gross.
Gross, I remember.
It was so gross. And it was like just in the literal way of somebody was hosing blood
was
off of the fucking cobblestone streets
yeah,
in the morning.
Yeah, that kind of gross.
I'm surprised I didn't end up dead a lot. Do you ever look back at your periods of your life? I've been to just so many weird places and traveled to so many countries.
Yeah.
That I'm surprised that I didn't, at the very least, become a drug addict.
While you're modeling, while you're living there?
Yeah, I'm living there. I'm living in a two-bedroom apartment with 8 other women on bunk beds. It's so romantic.
Weird. Why?
It's weird. It's a horrible industry. First of all, let's just be clear. It's a fucking horrible industry.
I know, but tell the listeners
the listeners just how bad. We know. Yeah. It's a total racket. I lived in this apartment, and I was paying, which was a lot at the time. You know, I was paying like $2,000 a month to be on a bunk bed in this apartment.
What?
Because they were charging all these girls. Basically, how it sort of works is it's like a tab system, right? Come to New York. We'll have you meet a bunch of people. You can stay in this apartment, and you're getting charged for everything. So they're getting charged for flights, and you're getting charged for, like, overly charged for your apartment, and you're getting charged for every Xerox copy they make of every photo. So when I showed up at, you know, when I graduated high school and I moved to New York the next day, I had, like, you know, a $60,000 tab that I could never really crawl out of.
Isn't there some sort of union or at least an eight? No.
I wish it was
union. Is there now?
No
idea. That's why I'm so glad I never became one.
You were so close.
I could have so many opportunities.
Really hitting it. But I decided, like, I need to, you know, go home. I went home. I went back to Vancouver after that. And I actually was enrolled to go to university at the University of Victoria to study marine biology.
That's right. You wanted to be a marine biologist.
I did. I still kind of do.
Yeah. How close did you come? I mean,
I was registered. All my classes were set. And then it was the summer before. And I think I was still trying to make some money modeling locally in Vancouver or whatever. And then I started taking acting classes. And then, you know, those community acting classes, like you're bonded for life because you're talking about, you know, whatever happened to you when you were a kid and getting fucking real with everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's sort of like, more like therapy.
I was like, whoa, this is what I want to be doing. These are my people.
Yeah.
These are my people. And I might be able to turn this into a living. Like, I'd done theater all through high school.
And it never occurred to
me. Occurred to me that I could make a living.
That's weird.
Maybe it's just because my parents are they're not artistic in any way. And they're very, like, father's a dentist. My mother was she was a mom for a long time, but went back to school and worked, like, with computers, creating databases and stuff. And so it was nothing. I didn't think that I could make a living out of it. Growing up and being like, you got to get a real job. You know, it's one of those
practical things.
Yeah, practical. And I'm a very practical person.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so I just delayed it a year and then never went.
So then you started going out on things in Vancouver.
Yeah, in Vancouver. And my very first job was on a television show called Special Unit 2.
Oh,
what is the
boy.
Second unit for? Well, it's a special unit that only deals with mystical creatures.
I know this. You know why?
Why?
My best friend in the world, John Togo, was on that show. And so I knew. And when he got that job, that was like a huge... So I watched that show.
Yeah. I got hired on there, like during our episode, they got canceled.
Oh, okay.
And it was especially rough because they were back after the holidays or something. And they're like, all right, guys, we got the back nine or whatever the order was. And then they changed their minds. So everybody had just gone through the holiday, like a butt. Isn't that horrible? Yeah, they were not happy.
Yeah.
And this is my first set. And I'm like, this is how it's done.
And everybody's miserable.
Everybody is, and rightfully so. I mean, horrible.
That was your first job? I didn't know
that. That was my first job.
So now do you think like, oh, they're just going to keep coming? Or did they keep coming?
Well, I got on a good run because shortly after that, you know, growing up and being in Vancouver, especially during this time where pilot season was a real thing, you know, there was a bit of a flow to the year where I would anyway work in restaurants all year and save up and then drive down for like January to June to Los Angeles to audition for pilots and hope that you could get on a pilot.
Yeah.
And then hope that you could get the visa that you got from that show.
Right.
So
that's where you met Taryn too, on one of those trips down here.
I first auditioned. I put on myself on tape and I got this job. I tested down here and it was for this show, this ABC show called Veritas.
Yes.
No, you don't know it. Nobody knows it.
Oh, really?
But we might have had a conversation about it.
Okay.
But it was like,
God, that sounds
a father and son team. And they were like, the dad was like an archaeologist, like an Indiana Jones. And we shot that in Toronto, and we shot 13 episodes.
Yes, I remember
that. And after that, I was like, I fucking made it.
Yeah.
That's it. And then, well, what happened, a couple things happened. The first thing that happened was I came down to L.A. to test for Lost.
Uh-huh.
I did not get it.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, whatever, it's a show. Like, I mean,
No one's going to watch that show.
Yeah. On to the next. And my manager at the time in Vancouver embezzled a shit ton of money from me. So I had no money. I had just like sunk all of my TV series money into an apartment because I was in Vancouver. And so now I had this mortgage.
Thank God, though, you did that.
It was probably, it's good in the long run. But then I went back to waiting tables and I just didn't work for a year and a half. Like just nothing.
That must be a strange feeling going from like,
I'm doing these shows now. Now the next one's going to come. If this isn't, you know, it was a learning. I mean, I'm really grateful for it, quite honestly. I mean, I think everybody should wait tables.
Yeah.
I think that should just be a human prerequisite for life. Because once you've lived in servitude to other people and you deal with all different types of people, you really, you know.
I can always tell who hasn't. And it's as simple as not acknowledging the waiters when they bring you something.
Right.
To me is like, I can't It's one thing if you're like in the middle of like a some serious conversation.
Totally.
Even then, I when it happens around me, I get so uncomfortable and I feel the need to thank, on their behalf, thank the waiter.
Right.
The idea of somebody bringing you something and not acknowledging them is like, I don't get it. But it happens all the time.
It happens all the time.
You don't get lost. You're back to waiting tables.
I was waiting tables and working for my mother as a gopher. My mother's
really?
British.
What
that definition means is that she worked for a very small budget version of Geek Squad, right?
Uh-huh.
So she worked for this like company and you bring them your broken computers and they fix them.
Uh-huh.
But I had to go to people's houses and like pick up their freaking, what are those called? The really heavy towers. What's that called?
Towers?
The drive.
The
hard drive.
Yeah.
So I have to like take the hard drive and the monitors. I have a laptop.
Uh-huh. But they were really heavy.
Heavy. I put them in the back of my mom's Honda Civic because I couldn't afford to pay my car insurance. So I wasn't driving.
Oh my God.
So I would bus.
Oh my God.
My reality was I would bus about an hour to my mom's, borrow her car, drive all around the freaking city, picking up computer equipment, dropping it off, and she paid me $8 an hour.
What?
Yes. And I did it because I had to keep my days free to audition. And then I would be working at night. So I would do that all day. And then I would work in restaurants at night.
God. So you needed the flexible hours to audition.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't just get a day job, right? I had to, So then I
did that
for a while.
Did that ever get creepy? You go to some stranger's house?
I mean, I think there was only one house that I started feeling a red flag, and I actually listened to
it.
Your
computer's fine.
Yeah, I think I played, and this is, I had a cell phone, but it wasn't what it is now, right? So I think I had it sort of on, and I went to the door, and I was like, I'm just going to call, the company to make sure, I'll just have them on the phone while I gather it, just make sure I have the right.
Well, you can use my phone. Yeah, I got a phone in here. Where are you going outside? God.
Again, I could have been in a ditch somewhere. Yeah. I don't know how I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm
just
one of the lucky ones, I guess.
Yeah. So are you depressed around this? Is this like, oh, fuck, what am I doing with my life? Or is it like, oh, something's going to come?
I think it was, I was only, this is when I'm, 20, 21.
Yeah,
I'm still super young. I liked drinking, so working in a restaurant was great for me.
Yeah.
Did that for about a year and a half, and then I came down to Los Angeles, and then I auditioned for How I Met Your Mother.
You're 20.
I'm 22.
God.
22.
Wow. And did you know that show? Did you have any idea that show was going to be what it became?
No, I had never done a comedy before.
Oh, wow.
It was my first comedy, and I actually was going to test for, I don't remember what it was called, but it was like a brother and sister wedding planner comedy, single cam. And Mark Paul Gosler, who I was legitimately in love with for a portion of my life. As
Zach Morris. I almost referenced Zach Morris for the cell phone thing.
Yeah. I was going to test for that show, and then the same casting director was like, can you come and read for this one? And then I read and I met with Carter and Craig, who are our creators, who are the nicest human beings. I mean, they were kind enough to move. I think I was like testing with Mark Paul, blah, blah. A week, from meeting them or whatever. And they were able to make the test happen before that. So if it didn't happen, I could still test for this other thing, right? Which is very nice.
Yeah, sure. So they must have really wanted you too. They must really like you.
I guess so. I don't know.
So now you're doing a comedy and you're playing.
They were going to offer it to Jennifer Love Hewitt. She turned it down.
Oof.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oof.
Which is funny.
Yeah, that must make you.
I mean, I'm grateful
love
to her.
Yeah, Jennifer Love her Hewitt her. What a.
Yeah, I know.
What a mistake. But no regrets. And we're going to have Jennifer on later today, so I'm going to ask her about that.
Jennifer's standing by. She's coming up next, right?
Yeah. She's right in there. I'm sure she has no hard feelings about it. Do not feel awkward at all about passing her.
Oh, my God.
So is that life-changing right away? Is that how different is your life?
I don't. You're into I'm not an optimist or a pessimist, but I'm somewhere in the middle where I just go, whatever happens. And for me, I achieved my goal of getting my visa. I was like, I'm here.
That was it.
Yeah. I'm here. I can stay here for 6 months.
Yeah.
That was huge for me.
I bet.
So that was exciting. And so we shot the pilot. And I met Taryn a week before we shot the pilot.
Oh, my
which
God.
Which is so trippy.
Wait, where'd you meet him? You met
we
him?
We met. Well, we met. I went to the taping of his show with my friend. He does not remember meeting me at this show.
Oh, really?
But then... Like a week or two later, it was a friend's birthday party, and she was, it was a 30th birthday party, so he thought I was very old.
Uh-huh.
Because he was like, this chick is like very mature.
Well, because you're friends with this person.
Yes, and I'm friends with this person. We're at a 30-year-old birthday, and we were at that roller rink up north somewhere here. So we met there and we hung out, and then pretty much we went out like the next night, and we've been a couple of years.
Oh my God.
22.
Wait, what show was he doing?
He was doing a pilot with Bill Lawrence called Nobody's Watching.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so we met there, and it was this really weird thing of like, whose pilot is going to go?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Which is funny because we're in that right now a little bit. But,
That's right. So Taryn is now on Single Parents.
Taryn's on Single Parents, yes, on ABC Wednesday night at 9 o'clock.
So right away, how does it change? How does your life change now that the show is a success right away?
For me, it's still about stability. It's still about like, okay, we've got a pilot, score. I just made this money from this pilot. I'm here.
Right.
And then it was, okay, we're picking you up 13 episodes. And I'm like, great. Oh my God. But I get, you know, but it's...
You're practical.
I'm very practical. Mm-hmm. So I'm not like, even for the 9 years, I mean, also the blessing of this show, really, there's many blessings from that show. But one of the ones that I'm thinking of right now is that we did it for 9 seasons, but we were never like a huge hit in the sense that our personal lives were affected by it.
But in terms of anonymity, it must have been.
No.
Really?
Never recognized, never really approached. We never got wrapped up in any weird, like, the cast of How I Met Your Mother can't stand each other, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
While in it, I knew not to take it for granted. I knew how special it was. Now, 5 years out, I'm like, holy fuck. That was the best.
I was right.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboo.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled BABBEL.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply. If you run an e-commerce business, you know the amount of work it takes to produce something great.
So if you want to optimize your workflow and reduce costs, ShipStation is the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates wherever you sell online.
ShipStation's simple dashboard makes managing orders, smooth label printing, reporting, and customer service unbelievably easy.
With shipping configurations automatically applied, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online.
Plus, save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation.
ShipStation is the innovative tool that helps turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth.
Go to ShipStation.com and use code LONG to sign up for your free 60-day trial.
That's ShipStation.com, code LONG.
Hello, hello again, Shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
You spoken about going through ovarian cancer.
The big C. Yeah, I went through the big C while on that show, which is another reason I'm very grateful to it.
God. And
because it was like, I remember I got diagnosed and I had to go through major surgery. And I told Pam Fryman, who was our director for almost every episode, and I told Carter and Craig, our creators, and I said, I don't know what's going to happen. I might not come back. So you have to like...
To the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know. I don't know. And I remember then there was like a moment like, we got to tell the network. And and Pam was like, nope, we're not telling anyone. We're going to just take it
really
week to week. And we did, and it was okay.
Are you even thinking about the show, or is the show so distant in terms of your priorities?
I was thinking of it because I'm like a really hard worker and I don't ever want to let anyone down. So I think that, I think I was probably worried about that, about letting the show down, and them having to scramble to figure it out. I think about this often actually, which is like, thank God I was on the show when it happened because...
Yeah.
You know, say I'm still doing this Canadian migration of coming down here and like auditioning or whatever, or still hustling. I would go back to Canada to do all this health stuff. And I was able to be here, be working, be a member of SAG, have insurance. So I'm very grateful. And also like moving forward, when I had my kid, it was like, you know, we'll make the schedule as easy as possible and we'll shoot you out so you can get home and whatever you... Oh. I mean, it was the best.
Yeah, I bet.
It was the best.
So if you are going to get cancer...
Be on a sitcom.
Yeah, and try to be on a sitcom when you get it.
But, the best advice I can give for you...
Totally.
If you're going through...
It's very empathetic.
Just get a sitcom.
Totally.
That's the best thing that worked for me. I'm a very private person. I mean, I didn't tell the cast until... I knew I was going to be okay. Oh. And in fact, I got pregnant so soon after that I was like, I'm pregnant.
Two things.
But also, I've been dealing with this other stuff that I didn't tell you about.
Way to bury the lead.
I know.
That's the only way you can bury that lead.
Yeah,
So I'm fascinated that you went through this at such an early age.
Yeah.
And like, it must have been fear. I mean, I imagine like a great deal of fear. Do you think about the end? Do you think about what happens after this? Do you think about
for me, it happened so... fast, which I think I had ovarian cancer. So ovarian cancer is like nicknamed the silent killer because when you actually find it, symptomatically, it's very akin to like a menstrual pain. And it's very hard to go like, well, this feels weird. And then the doctor usually says, well, you know, when's your period coming? And then you say, well, it's here. And then they kind of ignore it and it gets avoided for a very long time until, you know, it's metastasized until it's really in a bad place. So I was lucky enough to have what is called a borderline cancer, which means it's not quite benign, but it's not quite malignant, but it's very angry, and it kind of it grows, and it's still a scary thing, but it's usually something that's dealt with surgically. I mean, they took a tumor out of me, and it was the size of a cantaloupe, so it was like I felt it, and I was like, this is something. I'm not pregnant.
Borderline cancer.
Yeah, borderline.
So it's not...
Borderline.
It's cancerish. How do you deal with it?
Well, what I'm saying is I never worried so much about my mortality. Never like,
this
well, guys, it's been great. But I was, you know, I'm 25 when this happened. I've been with Taryn for 2 years, you know, two-ish years. And they're like, you're never going to have kids. You're most likely never going to have children. So you need to... Rational. You have to figure that out.
That's,
you know?
Okay. So that's what you have to do.
So that's what my main concern and focus is. But I will say, like, I can be a very intense person. And I got the diagnosis. I went to surgery a week later. I had this massive surgery. And then it was like, I went raw. I learned to meditate. I did like fucking energy healing. I did Ayurvedic medicine. I went to this cleanse retreat. I don't know if I've told you those stories. I'm not going to talk about
that. Yeah, you sure have. Colonics?
Yeah, yeah. I went to a
cleanse.
No. I'm not going to talk about my butt. I went to
Neil Patrick Harris did.
Oh, he did?
Oh.
But he talked about his cleansing?
Oh, it's mostly what we talked about.
He has no problem talking about that stuff.
He could not get over the fact that I'm not crazy about having women
around there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He couldn't understand that.
Right.
And to which forced us to then think about how pristine his but must be.
Maybe
one of the best.
I know too much.
Yeah. Okay. So you went through all the, you were like, I'm going gangbuster. I'm just going to have the healthiest system possible.
And to that point, being grateful to How I Met Your Mother is like, I'm on a TV show. I can afford to go to the fucking some weird crystal healer.
Yes.
And wherever. And I'm in California, so that's very available to me. All this
it's on
shit.
Every street corner.
Right? Yeah. There's butt people on every corner.
Who's your, who's your butt guy?
Who does your butt stuff?
I have a great butt person.
But I went crazy. I just did all this crazy stuff. And I think what really, I mean, if people are listening and, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, no, I'll answer that.
Well, once they get to the cancer part in this episode, they're going to start tuning in.
We'll re-edit that so it's the beginning. It's all the cancer
just
stuff.
Just open with that. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So speaking of cancer, life-threatening diseases.
But
what was the thing that you think?
I think the thing that really, you know, I went to this cleanse retreat for 8 days and I didn't eat anything.
What?
Yeah. It was really... I think the only way I did it is because I was like afraid for my life. It's this place and it's in Palm Springs and it's called We Care Spa. You could do it. People do it like before the Oscars or some shit to like look great. Mm-hmm. And I was just there just by the pool. Just, I haven't eaten for 6 days.
Yeah. People are like, you're going to look fabulous.
Oh, you look great.
And you're like, I just want to stay alive. That's
just
my goal.
Just trying to, you know,
fit
stay
into my,
here. Yeah.
The rest of my life.
But
outfit.
I did look great.
I bet. Greater.
But I didn't eat for 8 days.
How do you do that?
What
do you don't
every
drink?
Day. You have teas, you have granulated shakes. And it's so funny. I left the place going, I'm going to come here every year. I'm going to do this every year. I have not been back.
Oh.
Because I had children, you know what I mean? It's like you can't, you know.
It cleanses.
But it was really like, it's like hitting a reset button. In fact, there was 3 other women who were there with me, not maybe for the same amount of time, but they were all trying to get pregnant.
Oh.
And women go out there to cleanse their system and they all got pregnant.
Well, as did you.
As did I, even though the doctor said you will not be able to have children naturally.
Wow.
You won't be able to do that. You can, you know, we'll freeze eggs and we'll do all this stuff, but you won't be able to do it by yourself.
So other than the pregnancy, which obviously is a huge difference in your body, did you notice other differences in your body after you did this 8-day thing?
I did. I mean, other than just like the severe
things moving.
Hunger.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God,
but it was,
yeah.
You know, I remember leaving, you left this place and they gave you like a salad.
And you're like,
and I was so, and it was the most delicious fucking thing.
Bet.
I mean, every lettuce leaf, every carrot shred, I was just like, oh my God, avocado. I was like, this is.
You're like Bill Murray and What About Bob? Have you seen where he's like,
God, it was so good.
Is this corn hand shucked?
It was so delicious.
I bet.
And then you know, you slowly get back. I mean, yeah, I was like, I'll never drink coffee. I'll never have alcohol. And you know, it's all about balance.
Yeah. Cut to a week later. You're like,
I know. Give me that sweet stuff.
So you get pregnant shortly after that.
Yeah.
And then was that like, all of the fears, the cancer fears go away? Is that like now?
I was actually like very afraid to be a mom. I was not, I mean, I was just kind of.
You were young.
I was young. I mean, none of this has been in the plan.
Huh.
Taryn is lovely and was like, we didn't think this, we're doing it now. Huh. You're so sweet. And I'm just like, I don't. Because I was kind of coming to terms with the fact that I might not ever have kids.
Yeah.
I was kind of. That's kind of what I was spending my time on was dissolving some of these preset ideas I had for my life. And I was trying to, you know, put them to bed.
That must be confusing to, and I'm sure you did a version of that. You probably put, psychologically, you're dealing with that. And like, so you now you're coming to terms with not having kids and now you're pregnant. That must
now
be a weird,
It was a big
adjustment.
It was a big adjustment.
How instrumental was your family? Were they around at this time? Your mom, your dad?
They were, but I really relied on Taryn a lot, poor guy.
Yeah.
Sorry. No. You know?
You're both lucky to have one.
I agree.
You guys are...
Yeah, I agree.
Couple goals. I hate to say it, but you kind of are. You're the two of the best. What is your most commonly used emoji? These are just going to be quick, fun, rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
What's a go-to?
It's like the... face.
Oh, like, oh no, that one? Oh!
Yeah.
That's very
left
Charles.
Left Lebanon, hon. Ooh.
Yeah.
Can you turn it off? Ooh.
Getting another colonic. Ooh.
Ooh.
That's very Charles Nelson Reilly. Oh! if you could be a professional athlete, well, you said you played soccer and basketball and all that. Do you still harbor any like fantasies of like, oh, what if I had, that's something I could have committed my life to.
I do think I could have, like, I would have loved to have been on like the Canadian women's soccer team.
Uh-huh.
That would have been cool.
If you could have one snack food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Nachos. Does that count or is that more of a meal?
Yeah. Nachos.
Depends how much you eat.
That's true.
Which is for me a lot.
So you could have a whole, you could sit and have a whole meal of nachos.
Yes.
Doritos, you into Doritos?
I love a Dorito. I love a Sun Chip.
Favorite movie of all time?
The Princess Bride.
I sat next to Wallace Shawn on the plane a couple weeks ago, and he said, from LA to New York, so I had a long time with him.
Long time.
And he said at one point, the waitress brought over some, refreshments, and she's like, we have orange juice water, and he took an orange juice, and as he was taking it, she said, don't worry, I didn't poison that. And I thought it was odd, and we kept talking, and I said to him, well, do you think that was like a, when she said that about the poison, do you think that was a Princess Bride reference? And he goes, I think so. I think it was. And I said, what? Do you get that off? Do you get that a lot? And he goes,
It's a great scene.
And he goes, and I was expecting him to be like, yes, and I love it, and it's great. And he goes, I get it every day. And I said, oh, how does that make you feel? Or something like that. And he goes, well, I don't particularly like the movie. And I said, why? He goes, it's all about revenge. It's a terrible message to give to kids. And it never occurred to me that he's right. And he goes, and when people yell things at me in the street, they don't say inconceivable. It's like they remind me of my speech impediment. Right. They go, inconceivable. And it never occurred to me that.
Yes.
He goes, it's a constant reminder of my.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I kind of dropped it, but I so badly wanted to talk to him about that movie. Other than L.A. or Vancouver, New York, where would you want to live? Have you ever had fantasies about living anywhere else?
Well, I would want to live in Vancouver, Canada, where I'm from. But I do now have fantasies about living in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking great
the
city.
The greatest, yeah.
I was just shooting there a couple of weeks ago, and it was just the
food. What'd you shoot there?
I was shooting a pilot there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, which is
basically. They shot the pilot in Portland?
We shot 11 days in Vancouver and 4 days in Portland. Ugh, I loved it so much. The food and the people and the weirdness. And
I know. It's
just
funny because Portlandia is just slightly, kind of it. It's not, that's why that show is so good. It's not like a gross exaggeration.
Yeah.
It's like a tiny exaggeration.
Just a little bit.
If you could have dinner with three people, living or dead, who would it
Okay. be? I would say my cousin Jeff, who passed away. Okay. I would say...
What did Jeff do?
Jeff, he was a pilot, and he died in a plane crash when he was 25. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was not good times. I kind of want to just keep it in the family now.
Okay.
I mean, if Jeff's coming.
If Jeff's there, well, Jeff.
Is Jeff's, I mean, I would love to have dinner, like, with some grandparents now.
Yeah.
As an adult, and be like,
totally,
you
me
know,
too.
What was it like raising my dad or my, you know?
Me
if
too.
We're going to keep it in the family, or we're going to start in the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And were you?
I'm like Katharine Hepburn. Okay. Just for like a sprinkle of fun.
Jeff is like, what is she doing here?
No. Jeff, that's fucking Katharine Hepburn. Be cool, man.
Yeah, chill out. Who's your favorite Muppet?
Animal.
Ah, yeah, me too. Yeah. If you could have super X-ray vision or hearing, super hearing, which would you choose?
Oh, God. Oh, that's a good one. That's like a great superhero question, not like fly or invisible.
The next one's fly or invisible.
I think hearing just because I have such bad hearing, I think.
Uh-huh. If you had to be one age for the rest of your life, an age that you've, I mean, presuming that you've been, what would it be physically?
I think 32.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I fantasize about becoming a vampire.
Uh-huh. I do too. Yeah. You stay.
Because the idea of staying, I would like to live forever. Everyone's like, but everyone would die. I'd be like, I'll find new people. Yeah. I'll make new friends.
Totally. I made these friends.
Look at these. I got all these friends and family. It's fine.
I know. I have eternity to do that.
Fine.
I know. Do you
so
think
I
about.
I usually say, like, you know, some like 28 to 32, I'm like, I could have been vampire.
Yeah.
Now
yeah,
it'd be fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah. Now it's, you'd be.
But yeah, that. I
it'd
guess.
Be so hard to make friends now.
I feel great now. So I, you know.
I've talked to other people who, when they do go through a near death experience like you did, even though it wasn't, you said that's not where you went mentally. I wonder how much that informs the way you think about death and your mortality now, is it something that you do think about?
I do. I mean, I definitely do. I still definitely have like fear about it. I think you'll always have like this, like, well, it's coming back, or well, yeah, this is probably what that is. I always like, I have it in my back pocket. So if there's something going on that's really stressful or causing me a lot of anxiety, uh-huh, I kind of am able to say to myself, hey, we could be in that fucking hospital again.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
It could be like that.
Yeah.
Or you could be dead, you know?
Yeah. So you think this is bad.
I do have like, this is not as bad as it's ever been.
Thank God for that experience. I mean, yes, like, I'm sure you have to. You have to find the silver lining in it. And that is actually a really nice silver lining.
It is
to have that. If you had to have a vanity plate, like a funny thing on a license plate. If you could, if you had to.
Boobs?
Boobs.
Just because it's so clear?
Yeah, that's true. That'd be funny. Also, people would beg, like, it forced people to be like, who's driving that car?
Who dares? Oh, hi, ma'am.
Yeah. Oh, your boobs.
Yeah. It's also like, I remember when we had pagers, and that was the fun, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course. Writing boobs. Okay, really quick. Beatles or Stones?
Beatles.
I can't thank you enough. This was fun. And
yes,
this is a new thing for us, is like, we like to just let these peter out awkwardly.
Oh, okay. Well, it's happening.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, mission accomplished.
So that just smoldered. Happened.
That was no good.
So that just happened.
It happened. I'm so glad it happened. I feel, you know, that, remember that Billy Madison, when he's like, we are all dumber for having heard that. May God have mercy on you. So I feel the opposite of that after talking to Kobe. I always do. I always just love talking to her.
I'm going to say something that might be misinterpreted.
I'm excited.
Ready? Yeah. You guys have a lot of chemistry. But when I say that, I don't mean romantic chemistry necessarily, just as people. Like, you're,
yeah,
it was like a really good non-sexual date.
Yeah. Can you say that? Is that
weird? I think so. See, I think
I agree. I know what
you
mean.
I think I can say it and you can agree with it because you brought up her husband about 10,000 times. So it's pretty clear that you're supportive of her marriage.
Oh, yeah. I hate when people say goals, but that now I find myself saying it a lot. So maybe I just have to embrace that now I say that.
We have had a lot of guests who are in seemingly really good marriages.
Yeah. And for Hollywood actors.
Yeah. It's very inspirational. Goals. She says things that, and I don't know, again, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but is the word tomboy
bad
now? Has that been
canceled?
Canceled?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think we're the authorities to
because she address strikes that. Me as a tomboy.
I wonder if tomboy is passe.
And I could tell she grew up with a lot of brothers. She talks about growing up with brothers, older brothers, who are. Sound like
Tom's
very Tommy,
yeah,
a very intimidating man.
Yeah.
And I noticed certain things she said that reminded me of like what it's like growing up with brothers. She says at one point, she says, you'd be a turd. You asked her if she was so close to any of her exes. She said, it's hard for me because you've been inside of me. I mean, it's very like certain things like that are
very god like. I don't know
if you can say that. When she was talking about a relationship, I could sense your jealousy because I felt it too.
What?
When she was like, you know, it works because we're both very independent and neither of us feel the need to check in.
Yeah.
There's a real sense of security, I think, in both of them. And when she was saying that, you were like, oh, God. Yeah. You're like, that sounds so great.
So great.
And I don't know if I've ever fully had that.
Yeah, well.
And that's because I think that's very rare.
You were right. You're right to read that much into that sigh of mine. I mean, I've been in relationships where it was like, it's been 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know.
You have been.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
You've had that more than I would say most people, if I had to guess.
Not to victimize myself, but I know.
She was voted most respected in high school,
which is
an amazing superlative.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's Canadian.
It is Canadian.
It just solidifies my love of Canadians.
At one point, you pivoted from talking about Tom Cruise doing stunts with her and Jack Reacher to you doing pratfalls and getting heat stroke in the movie you did with her. And when you were saying that, something dawned on me. I thought, it says so much about her as an actress that she was able to convincingly play opposite both you and Tom Cruise. It's like...
That's one of the most insulting things you've ever said to me, but I get it. I
mean, come on.
Yeah, no. Oh, I get it. I get it. But I totally get it.
Yeah. And both of those stories are so perfectly symbolic of why it's so impressive that she was able to navigate both those types of people. I'll never forget getting that heat stroke, how embarrassing it was. Have you ever had a heat stroke?
No.
Ugh, I thought I was going to pass out, which is very vulnerable, as Hannah B. on The Bachelor would say, vulnerable. It's a very vulnerable place to be. And in front of all these crew members, and I remember I had been giving, I didn't say this, but I'd been like, you know, being like, because I was the lead of the movie. And so I wanted to like take care of everyone, and I was bringing them all water because a lot of the crew guys were getting lightheaded, and I got this, here's some water for you. And in front of everyone, I was like, oh, wait, I got to sit down.
You're like a damsel in distress.
Yes. Yeah, so
you're like Blanche DuBois.
I was like, oh, I'm getting the vapors. And then I remember everyone looking at me who I'd been like heroically taking care of. And I had to go back to my trailer. And this is a low budget movie where you have to shoot. You have to keep going. I puked. I went to my trailer and I threw up. It was so fucking embarrassing. And Kobe could not have been a better person to have that experience with.
She seems like someone who has never experienced anything bad, you know, like things just work out. Right. I can't imagine things not working out for her. And then she talks about getting cancer when she was 25. And the way in which she dealt with it and talks about it, I found pretty inspiring.
And impressive.
Impressive. How she really tackled it. She just went to work. I think about sometimes what it would be like, how I would deal with such a serious condition. And I wonder if I would just sort of curl up into a little ball. I mean, thankfully, nothing horrible like that has ever happened to me. But
I know. I wonder if I would like
her resilience and her attack, something to aspire to. No one aspires to getting cancer, obviously. But,
you know, that's also a litmus test for somebody's character, you know, when they're facing a situation like
no
that.
No bitterness. No. She has no bitterness. Just gratitude that she got through it.
Totally.
You talk about overcompensating with waiters in terms of, you know, being friendly with them. And you do tend to overthink.
Yeah, it always bothers Christian when we're leaving a restaurant. I feel the need to thank people when we're leaving.
Just like public, loud declaration. Even at a diner where no one gives a shit after you pay the bill, Justin's like, thank you. And like all the patrons look up. It's so embarrassing. But I would say I do a good amount.
Yeah,
to pat myself in the back, but I think I do a good amount of thanking.
You're very good at thanking.
But you're right in that you should skew, you know, towards overthanking than underthanking.
I know,
but I do think it's a good litmus test on dates, like you talked about.
Yeah, knowing that you are a consistent thanker and a you know grateful person, at that point it becomes more like, I don't know, like a thank you from somebody who's not receiving something doesn't really count.
That's true.
That's not, because you haven't been brought anything.
It's just a guilt-based reflex that you have.
Like,
am I shaming you too much in this episode?
No, I deserve it. It helps balance my guilt. No. It's interesting. You're right.
The final impressive thing that I'm going to say is how she likes to, quote unquote, ruin the magic for a kid by bringing her to set and she introduces her to everybody, all the crew members, and because she wants her to appreciate how much work goes into a production like that, and it's not just about, you know, the star actor in the project. And it's a really smart thing to do to your kids.
That is
something tells me that kid is going to grow up to be,
oh my god,
just as cool and grateful and grounded as her mother. It makes sense.
Those are people that I want. Sometimes I meet, you know, I know certain couples and I'm like, I hope you just keep having babies. Like, just to offset some of the
Duggards.
Yeah.
And finally, I love her vanity plate, boobs.
Oh, yeah. God damn it, she's great.
So anyway. Finally, we're going to do a little thing where we're going to start doing this after each episode, at the end of each episode, where we read a portion of an email that we got from you guys out there saying something about how you make the most out of your life. Today's email.
This is from Anna. It might be Anna M. And Anna, I'm just going to read part of this letter. Anna says, I have severe depression. I got help and I've been doing wonderful since. But the way I look at life has been so different. I've become all about what's actually in front of me instead of all the what ifs. Another thing I do is when I get upset about dumb shit, I ask myself if it will matter in a few years. If the answer is no, then I don't waste my time getting upset. I enjoy the little things more. I notice plants growing and animals outside living together cohesively. It seems to help me appreciate more in life when I look at the world around me and seriously look at it, not just pass it by. Keep things light and not so serious. That's how I'd like to make the most out of life. That's from Anna M. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was having one of those moments where I was walking. I was just taking a walk and I found myself literally stopping and smelling flowers.
Literally.
Literally. Wow. There you go. Full circle.
Wow.
And it was so nice. I was like, well, but I caught myself kind of
stop
doing
and
it.
Smell the roses.
Yeah.
Thanks for reaching out, Anna. And if you guys want to write in with how you make the most out of your life, it's lifeisshort@wondery.com.
We want to thank everyone who has written in so far. Some of them, I think, are maybe a little too personal to read, but we're reading them all. So thank you, and it's been really, really moving.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
Thank you again for listening to Life is Short, or thank you for the first time if this is your first time listening to Life is Short. We hope you keep listening. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and every major listening app, as well as Wondery.com. Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long. It's produced by Christian Long and Megan Monaco. Our senior producer is Michelle Lanz. Engineer is Marcelino Villapando. Executive produced by Marshall Louie and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Do, 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 shaboom.
You've never seen like the boys on the like the wolf boys from like.
Why do you keep saying wolf boys?
Like the ones with hair all over their face.
Like are they human?
Yes. They call them like they're in like National Enquirer and stuff and like.
What?
But it's a real condition. You've never what? Seen that. All right.
Not,
do you have your phone with you?
No, I don't want to get wolf boys. I'm gonna have nightmares. Is it scary?
No, it's sad. It's just sad.
I don't want to see that either.
Well, it's a little scary, maybe. I mean, I wouldn't.
Oh, scary and sad.
It'd be.
No, I'm all right.
If one came to the door, I'd be scared.
Introducing the next
revolution. They're hair.
Anyone came to the door? This lady from next door came.
No, I wouldn't be scared of Jean.
Right now?
Oh, she. Yeah, no, I'd be like, oh shit, we're too loud. I'm sorry. I wouldn't be that. I'd be more scared if a wolf boy came to the door.
What?
Yes, a boy with hair all over his face. Think of, oh wow, look. DQ, the blizzard of the month. Oh man, we never got, oh shit. I think they have one like 30 minutes away. By the way, how spoiled. I just realized how spoiled I am. It's 30 minutes away that we have to drive that far. We get to go to like, oh my God, we get to eat that at all.
I could not leave this conference right
now. No, I know, now. And we get to be like sedated. We live in a time where we can eat a little candy and it makes us like, but I know I can have that tomorrow. And I'm seeing it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So, Wolf Boy, you wouldn't be scared if Wolf Boy came to the door.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.